But the blackout, that was pretty critical because of the being so close to the Millbrook Reservoir.
Yeah.
And when we went to market, there was no lights on the truck at all. It was a...
Being so close to the reservoir because, well, a reservoir was more likely to be bombed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they were quite sure the Japs had bombed the Millbrook Reservoir because the wall on the Millbrook Reservoir was only mud. It's only stones and mud. Grandad helped build it in 1914. They just drove bullet teams up and down, pounding down the mud and put more stones, more mud, and it's 80-odd feet high. It's a hell of a wall on the Millbrook Reservoir. And they thought if the Japs bombed that, that'd wipe out Adelaide, you know.
The river all collapsed.
The river torrents had come down in a big rush.
Wow.
Mm. Wouldn't be a hell of a rush. It's a pretty big reservoir. So they were very stringent on no lights. And could go down the Gorge Road at 3 o'clock in the morning with no lights.
Did you ever do that? Or were you on the horse?
I went down the horse and cart now and again.
Yeah.
If they had too much fruit, they put 404 cases on that old truck. And then Wes Curtis would take a two-horse team down with a trolley and he'd take another 100 or so cases. And there was still more to go to Silver Sharp and Bishop's. They'd put about 20 cases on a little cart with one horse. And I'd take him down, I'd follow down Wes Curtis down the Gorge Road. But the horses could see where they're going.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah.
But sometimes the boss said, even though he'd been up that road 1,000 times, some mornings you had to get out and have a look where the road was. If it was a moonlight night, it wasn't too bad, but, you know, dark night in the, up the Gorge Road, there's no white post, no white lines, no nothing.
What time did you have to leave to get to the market?
About 3 o'clock.
3 o'clock?
We'd get up about 2 o'clock and get the horse and the cart and all that ready to go.
And what time would you get to the market, to the East End market?
Oh, you'd get there about five. Get there about five and get all ready. And then I was allowed to go into Silver Sharp and Bishop and unload my cart first.
So what's Silver Sharp and Bishop?
They were big agents in the East End market.
Okay.
They were fruit agents. I was allowed to go in there and unload to them because I could do that before the whistle went. They allowed me to go in there and unload them so I could go back home to go to school.
So what was the whistle for?
Well, he wasn't allowed to start trading until the whistle blew at 7 o'clock.
Oh.
There's a big siren went off and then you could... Look, the blokes all went around and sold this and sold that. They weren't allowed to move any fruit until the whistle went. But they'd done.
And then
all
would
that.
It be a mad rush?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All those little carts had come down off the loft in the East End Market. There's hundreds of carts up there, those market barrows. And they'd all come down and be all ready to go, you know. So when the whistle went, you could put all this on the cart and take it over this bloke or that bloke or around the gardeners or across the road, the Mum's Own factory. Humphrey's factory. Humphrey's factory was in Tamarack.
So you'd take
place.
It in a wheelbarrow?
Yeah, in the barrow. They'd take all.
And then you'd take the fruit to the central market from the East End?
Yeah, in barrows.
In barrows.
He wouldn't. Once he parked the truck at number one spot in the East End market, it didn't move till it was either he was coming home or going off down to the Brooker's factory.
So and how many barrow loads would you take over to central market?
Oh, I might take a couple. Maybe 10, 12 cases on the load. And got a bit heavy time you got there, but
yeah.
that's the way they did it.
Right? Yeah.
Nowadays, the forklifts would race over there.
Was the East End Market bigger than Central Market then?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, East End Market. Huge. Oh, we used to be... horse teams used to be all up East Terrace. All up East Terrace, that big wide terrace there. That was all horse teams, all marked out for where they could park. The East End Market was all full, all those different rows of trucks and everything. And that's why that big horse trough was on the corner of East Terrace and North Terrace, where the blokes could water their horses. That was a major part of the East End then. That trough had to be there and full and clean water for all the teams when they come in from the hills.
So most people came in by horse?
In those days. There's a lot of trucks. I mean, the old truck, he was privileged. He had an old International with solid tyres, you know. But
Solid
when tires. When he had that big load on, when she was right up, like he used to have racks to put his fancy fruit on because he always... On your fancy fruit, you always had to stack it above the top of the box to make it look good with a paper on it and all that, you know, wanted to be. So he had racks for all that, and all the other fruit went way up top. So when he got on the Paynham Road, he had to stay in the middle of the tram line, otherwise he'd tip over. I mean, the truck's not very wide. You got 400 cases on it. And if he's a bit late getting in there, the early morning tram would be running, ding, 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 trying. Couldn't do much about it. Got to stay there till he got into the market, you know.
So yeah. when did the Central Market take over from East End Market?
Oh, I don't think it ever did. Would East End Market's moved out to Baraka now.
To Baraka, yeah.
When they closed the East End Market, it all went out to Baraka. That's the wholesale, like, Central Market's more retail, isn't it? They've all got their stalls there and all.
Oh, I see. So that was the place where you did all the...
Wholesale.
Yeah, okay. Mm. And was it just produce, fruit and veg? Or
everything,
was it, there was everything?
Yeah, everything. And your places like Gardner Supply Company and Silver Sharp and Bishop, they'd buy from the growers and then be able to sell it to retailers and whatnot.
So they'd sell it on to the retailers wherever they were.
Mm. Growers could come in and unload at Silver Sharp and Bishop and go home again.
Okay.
They'd sell it all for them, you know. They'd get home and do another day's work.
A lot of people that I've spoken to that are in their 80s remember the Central Market for lollies.
Oh, yeah, Blackbees.
Yeah.
Blackbees.
Yeah. And for sweets, anyway, sweet stalls. And that was like one of the biggest... treat and that's one common thing that people have said is that there was so where would they that's have right. come from?
Well, Blackerby's made all their own, didn't they? That was a family show.
Blackerby's made all their own.
Mm.
Yeah, Blackerby's. That's all I remember.
No, Blackerby's. Suddenly, the other ones.
I don't remember anything else but the boiled lollies.
No, the boiled lollies and Blackerby's.
They were very good. You'd get a little tiny.
You'd get a little tiny
packet of lollies.
A packet of lollies.
Know, yeah. Each child.
Little boiled lollies.
Yeah.
Not given. You had to buy them. Mm. But I'm just saying that was the treat after you got your fruit and veg.
And at Central Market?
Yeah. Blackerby's have been there. They're still there, are they? They've been there since day one, haven't they?
It's still a lolly shop.
There's a lolly shop, but it's not Blackerby's.
Not Blackerby's anymore. Yeah, terrible. Mm.
And that was all boiled lollies.
Most
that's
of
what
them,
I remember.
Yeah.
But could have been others.
Yeah. Boiled lollies lasted longer, didn't they?
So did your family buy their produce from Central Market?
On occasion.
Mm. Yeah. Well, it wasn't a regular thing that they'd
do.
No.
You just didn't have access easily.
So where would you get your fruit and veg from?
Locally.
The man come around. The truck come around.
The fruit and veg man.
What was it? Don Burns' relations. He had a fruit truck.
But that was much
later. Yeah,
from
they used to come around through. And you buy all your fruit and veg out of the back of the truck.
So people would come around in a horse and cart.
A horse and cart, yes. And also an old truck.
The baker.
Yeah, I remember the
baker.
Horse
had
and
horse and cart. And the milk. He had horse and cart.
Yeah.
An old
ice man had horse and cart.
The ice man.
Mr. Parr, the rabbit man.
Yeah, he'd come. Horse and cart.
Yeah, four horse and cart.
So how would you get your ice when you're up here?
In the office.
Up here, yeah, but, you know, living...
We didn't have any ice.
You didn't have
a cool safe.
You had a cool safe, so...
That's all we had.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, fill up the water up the top and put all the rags over the side. And we had a little bit of a room on the side of the main dining room. Had a breeze through it, and that used to keep things pretty cool in the cool safe, you know.
Did they corn meats to make it last?
Oh, yeah. Mum would do all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
In her spare time.
I can't imagine when her spare time was.
God, she used to work when you look back. You know, she could milk 6 or 8 cows in the morning, and she could milk quick. God, by the time she got... that much milk in the bucket would be full of froth. Incredible. Her and her cousin, Phyllis, reddened up. And
would you drink it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Straight out the cow.
Straight from the cow?
Yeah. My work. Pasteurised in there.
And nobody ever got sick?
No. Bloody sick business. God, save us. No, we used to separate it. I used to separate some before I went to school.
And to get the cream off?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we did well.
How long would it take for the cream to settle at the top?
Oh, no, if you put it through a separator, you get the cream out the spout. Oh,
okay.
You get the cream straight away. You get skim milk and cream then.
Because I have these vague memories of milk in bottles with this thick cream at the
top. Yeah, the old bottle of milk, the cream used to come to the top.
Well, that was unseparated milk, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, nowadays...
Well, it would have to have been, wouldn't it?
The milk's all nodulized and God knows what.
My mother used to take it off the top and whip it up.
Yeah.
Well, you can do that now if you buy Fleura milk. You get Jersey Fleura milk.
Fleurio
Jersey milk. God, that's rich.
And it's got cream in it.
Oh, it's got cream.
Yeah, so it's unpasteurised. Very rich. Yeah.
But then you could... If we had a big bowl of cream, Mum would warm it, then it'd stand overnight and all the cream would come to the top. She'd scald it, then we'd get all this scalded cream off the top, make pigs of ourselves.
What would you eat it with?
Bread and jam.
Bread and jam.
Oh,
bread,
God,
jam,
yeah. 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 I've seen my brother out with his mate, Reg Buckley. Buckley's worked on the farm. And they would stop the baker as he come down, they'd hear him coming down Torrens Hill, which is very steep. And sometimes with the old rugby, and it had two wheel brakes on the back, and some people used to drag a log behind them down there so they wouldn't go in the river. But they'd hear him coming down there, and they'd stop him when he come around the road, and they'd get a square loaf of bread, and they'd eat all the middle out of it while they're out pruning. And then my brother would race home and whiz in the pantry and get a jar of jam, like a full... All our jam was in beer bottles.
Oh, yeah.
Mum had a ring you put around the top, you get it hot and it cut the bottle off perfect. Well, he'd grab one of these jars of jam and they'd tip it in the crust of the bread they've eaten the middle out of, and then while they're pruning they'd eat that. they'd eat a loaf of bread
actually.
And a jar of jam for morning tea, and then they'd come home for a big hot lunch at midday. I mean, those blokes were working, you know.
They worked hard.
Yeah. Art Redden was a bloke. Oh, he'd be 6'6" or something. And he used to say to his mother, if you haven't got 9 eggs and 8 sausages, don't put a pan on in the morning.
God.
Like
he was a big boy and he could eat.
Yeah.
But they worked hard, by God, they worked hard, you know, and spraying and whatnot. Spraying lime sulphur, they'd come home black as of a night, you know, and they'd been out spraying all day. And
Would you have a cooked meal every day, in breakfast?
Well, up there?
Yeah.
Yeah, we always had eggs and bacon.
Yeah, so yeah. You had the same?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we all lined up the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. We dished up early in the morning so that Mum could get on and milk the cows.
Yeah.
She had to get out to milk the cows.
And did you, when you were a kid, growing up, did you always have a cooked breakfast?
Oh, not every day.
No.
No,
it's different.
Much different.
Yeah.
No,
it's associated with work, isn't it?
Oh,
it's
my word. Yeah, my word. Yeah.
Yeah, you need to have in the bush always people that work hard always. Mm. Yeah.
Have the big brekkie.
Yeah, have the big brekkie and the.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Mum had it all the preserves. She had it all the preserves ready for the sweets when there was no fruit available. You know, all the big jars, the big Fowler jars packed full of peaches. Had to be all put in the herringbone fashion, so they all, you know, you couldn't just throw them in there.
Would you help out with that?
Oh, yeah, we all had to help out with something. It was always peeling fruit if we weren't working in the orchards, you know. It was always.
So would girls do as much work as boys?
Buckley.
Yeah. So there wasn't too much distinction when
you
were growing up.
The Buckleys had a couple of daughters and they were out picking up stones and picking up sticks.
Would they go to school as much as boys? Yep. There was no difference.
Well, the girls probably went more than we did. If we had, sometimes when we went to the market, I could get home early enough to go to school, but I'd make sure I didn't get home early enough.
But that was voluntary.
You give the horse a spell halfway home. But then if we were, sometimes some of the horses had to go to market, they'd be shod. See, they weren't shod when they were in the orchard. They had to go to market down the Bitumen Road, they had to be shod. So we could get a day off from school to ride them out to Gumaraka to the blacksmith. And we'd wait out there and he'd shear them, they'd put new shoes on them, and then we'd ride them home again. See, well, didn't have to go to school that day.
Yeah.
Did you have a horse that was your horse? Or?
Not really. No, you used the horse. Oh, I had old Roney. I used to use him a lot in the orchard. He was virtually my horse.
Were they all Clydesdales?
Yeah, people. Roney, we used to, when we had to ride him up to the back paddock for the weekend, we used to put some apples on the ground, and while he was eating them, we'd get on his head. And when he went up, we'd crawl along his neck and get on his back. Well, no, otherwise, if you got him up next to the store, you could jump on his back. But, you know, if that wasn't available, you had to go up by then.
So apart from the war, like when you were growing up, which obviously was would have been a huge worry for everybody,
yeah,
were there things that you were fearful of?
Oh, I think Mum was more fearful. Like Mum had probably been through the First World War and she knew how terrible it was, you know.
Yeah.
I remember her shedding a tear when they announced on the wireless that Australia was at war again, you know. And she immediately imagined it'd be like the First World War, you know, where blokes were just slaughtered over there. But
had she lost a family in that First World War?
Yeah, I hear some crouches went. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, some crouches got lost in the war.
And what about robberies or people coming to... There was none of that?
Nothing like that. No. You could leave anything anywhere. Nobody ever. Everybody was in the same boat. They were all scratched along and you wouldn't take anybody else's stuff.
So if you were out and about and, I don't know, there was almond trees, would you pick the almonds and eat them?
Oh, you'd probably have a few almonds, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and would that be considered... wrong?
Not really. Yeah. Not for kids. Kids always jumped over the fence and got a bit. Same as Wakefield used to grow a lot of watermelons, but he knew the kids were knocking some off going home from school.
Yeah.
He'd have a watermelon now and again.
So it was sort of okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that sort of thing. But, you know, you wouldn't go out pinching anybody's gear or anything. But
So was there more respect for people?
Oh, my word. My word. There's more so than now, you know. It was not screwed down now. They reckon they can have it. But But those days, you know, everybody's in the same boat, really. They're all, you know, all struggling along to make a bob, sort of, isn't it?
So everybody you knew was doing the same, were pretty much doing the same thing.
Yeah.
And was that the same with you as well? It was all...
Oh, I wasn't in here to hear what the question was.
just that everybody, there's more respect for people's property and people weren't fearful of other people stealing from them or hurting them or anything like that.
Nothing ever entered your head like that.
No.
Yeah.
No, much different.
Yeah.
Mm. So you could ride your bike anywhere and leave it there and come back.
And your bike could still be there.
Yeah, never any doubt, you know.
Yeah.
At the local hall pictures, there'd be a whole row of bikes, you know. But when you come out, your bike would still be there, all right?
Yeah.
Did you ever come down to the beach?
No. Oh, when the school picnic was on, we went to the beach a few times. We had a bus down to Henley Beach or somewhere. That was a big day out.
Did you ever do things like learn to swim or anything like that?
Oh, in the little pool at by the Gorge kiosk. We're allowed to go down there Friday afternoon to learn the swim campaign.
Yeah.
First day my brother went down the beach, he took off, walk away down the sand, and Dad chased after him. Where are you going? He said, I'm going to the other side. Had a bit of a walk out of him.
Whoops.
Well, he'd only ever seen a creek or a river or something, you know, where he could go to the other side, but... You'd be different down the beach.
Still be walking.
Yeah. No, that's great. So were you aware of, you know, like you had atlases and things like that. Were you aware of other countries?
At school we were taught, you know, other countries and that. I mean, we've been taught it at school that everything in Japan was built with bamboos because you used to have that many earthquakes or it used to shake down all the time. You know, Japan now's got mouldy skyscrapers, That was a teaching at school that everything up there was built out of bamboo because it all fell down. So they only taught us what they knew, or thought they knew.
Were you aware of any Aboriginal people that were in that area before?
No, we had no Aboriginal people at all around there. No, none.
So there would have been before, they'd just
all
gone.
Oh yeah, would have been before, but none had all been cleaned out. There was none there. We had no Aboriginal people in the hills whatsoever. Probably some up there now, but...
So did you ever know an Aboriginal person?
No, don't think ever. Oh, I tell a lie, because when shearing came, asked Aboriginals come to do the shearing. Two perfect gentlemen.
Yeah.
Used to have their dinner at the table with all the rest of them, but they were perfect shearers. When he shore a sheep, it was as even as that.
Yeah.
Perfect. And the boss had a two-stand Sunbeam electric shearing machine. And halfway through the shed, the boss said he wanted to do some shearing. Lon said, well, you can use this electric one. I can do just as many with a hand blade.
Wow.
And he used to have another little spot over this side, and he'd shear just as many with a hand blade. God, he was clever. But they were two perfect gentlemen, those blokes. That was the only Aborigines we ever knew. I mean, they used to come up for the shearing.
Yeah.
But we look forward to them coming up, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Very nice men.
And they got the same wages and everything as everybody else?
Yeah, they got paid for the per sheep, they sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got the full, and they did a real good job.
So would people come from all over for shearing? Or was it local people always? Did you always know the shearers, or was it people from...
all the time I was there, they've done the
they
shearing.
They were the ones, yeah.
They come every year.
Yeah.
And we used to bring the sheep home from Kersbrook for them to shear, because the shearing shed was back at the prairie. And because I had a pet lamb, I was out front. I used to walk from Kersbrook with Dora, and his pet lamb followed me, and 800 sheep followed along behind. And when they were shorn, we'd go back the other way. I did that for 2 years before Dora got a boyfriend.
Before Dora got a boyfriend.
Wouldn't follow me anymore.
So did she end up being eaten for lunch?
Oh, I don't know where she ended up. Probably one of the flock.
You wouldn't have eaten it, that's for sure.
But my brother and I, that was our job to kill a sheep and clean him up and hang him up in the wire safe, you know, really. And we had a cousin of ours, I don't know how it come to be a distant cousin or something. There was a Brock, Richard Brock and Christine Brock. They were some sort of cousins of ours. But Christine was up there some time, only a young girl, young blondie little girl. And Mum went off to milk the cows at night. She used to milk them twice a day. And she knew we had to go and kill a sheep. And she said, leave Christine in the house. So when Mum's gone, well, you can come down. I want you to kill a sheep if you want to. So we take Christine down there, and the silly bitch fainted when we get... The knife went in and the blood squirted everywhere, you know. We got a bit of hammering with a pot stick that night.
So you didn't have guns to shoot them?
Oh, no. No. Bend their neck right back.
Yeah.
It was quick.
Cut their throat. Yeah, that's very quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they all did it. So, and we had to skin him and laid the skinny out.
And did people use the wool? Did you know of people who would, you know, anything out
all
of the wool?
All the wool was put in bales when they were shearing. We never had a wool press. All the kids had to get in and tramp the wool down in the bales.
Yeah.
You come home covered in lanoline, you know.
Yeah.
But then all the wool would go straight to elders, you know. There was no wool laying around or anything. Yeah. It all went.
You can always tell a shearer when you shake their hand.
Yeah. Yeah, and a bit of lanoline was all good, wasn't it?
Yeah, lovely stuff.
Mm. Yeah. So once I was shorn, we headed back to Kersbrook, another 800 sheep back there.
Another 800 sheep.
Had to walk a bit quicker going back because the sheep were all shorn.
So how many brothers and sisters did you have?
Only one. One brother.
One brother.
One brother died, yeah.
Were there others that that died or anything like that? There was just two.
Just the two of us.
Yeah, because that would have been a small family, wouldn't it, in those days?
Yeah, it was a small... Well, Mum come from a family of 14, you know.
Yeah.
But she had me pretty late in life, you know. I suppose times were tough. I don't suppose she got around to having family too soon.
She was too busy anyway.
When we were living in Angus Street, it wasn't the best place, I suppose, anyhow. But once we got up on the orchard, she was busy.
When did you start, stop school and... Get a job. What was your first job after school?
Oh, the day I turned 14, I was gone. By that time, we'd moved down to town. So I went out to my uncle's place at Golden Grove and worked out there for a while. Uncle Alf had a place at Golden Grove.
Did your parents agree with that?
Oh, yeah, as long as I was working, that was the main thing.
They probably encouraged it in those days.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, my uncle had a nice place at Golden Grove, and we used to go out there and... But that was altogether different. On the orchard, you walked everywhere, you know, or run. When I used to load sheep at Kersbrook, there'd be a lot of yards out there, and they'd get all the sheep in, and they'd leave me there, help the driver load the sheep. And when the driver loaded the sheep, I'd get a ride from him to Chain of Ponds. And from Chain of Ponds, I'd run home. Because he'd go down the other way, he'd go down the other, down through Tea Tree Gully. So he'd drop me off at Chain of Ponds about 10 o'clock at night. And I'd run home from there, see. But when I went to work at Uncle Alf's, everybody got issued with a horse. You had your own horse. See? There was two horses out there, Megsie and Coogan. I always had Coogan. Nice little bay horse, you know. Everywhere you went, you rode on this horse. You'd ride down to the post office to get the mail. And whatever you was doing, you'd ride out to work out some thistles or something in the paddock. You always had this horse along for you. Different altogether, you know. Yeah. And those horses were brought
You'd love your horse too, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah. Beautiful horse.
Yeah.
And every morning the horses all come in. They've got their sheaf of oats and, you know, they're all ready to go. So much different life. But I only stayed out there until position was vacant at Forward Downs in Hindley Street. There, going there and work as a boilermaker, apprentice boilermaker in there, down the bottom in Hindley Street. Real toffee area that was back in 1947.
Is it Chain of Ponds where there was the town that got flooded?
Donnie Dunson decided he'd knock it all down. It was polluting the reservoir. That's what it was.
The town was polluting the reservoir?
Mm. Yeah, it was up on the hill from the edge of the Millbrook Reservoir, and Donnie Dunson skittled the whole town. Even the town hall and all that would be knocked down because you said the pollution was getting in the reservoir. So the whole town got wiped out.
Was it?
The Morning Star Hotel all went. Everything got knocked down.
Do you think it was polluting the reservoir?
No, bloody Donnie Dunson being Donnie Dunson, I think.
Wasn't there a church or something left that you could see when the reservoir went down?
Oh, yeah, it's in the bottom. Yeah. Oh, yeah, my mum was born in Millbrook, and that all got flooded. The Millbrook got flooded.
That was Millbrook, not Chain of Ponds.
And when the reservoir went right down, we'd have a tour from school, or a tour we'd all walk. We'd be walk around the reservoir, and they'd show us all the things that were in the town.
Are they still there?
Oh, yeah, the old pub was still there. They had the pipe going up to the top with the beer, and the lady who owned the pub had all these ringlets of carnations or something in her front garden, and they were still all there. You could see all this where the garden had all been laid out, you know. And the old bridge is still there when the water goes right down. There's a big bridge there.
So when would that have been flooded?
1918, when Granddad finished building it. 1918, they flooded the town.
So that's part of the same reservoir that you were talking about. That's just got
Millbrook.
All the... Yeah. So...
And because the school was up on the hill, so that was anything saved. That's why we all went to Millbrook School.
So was the town built at the bottom of a...
Yeah, it was in the bottom of a gully.
That's probably a silly place to build a town anyway.
Especially when they decided to build a reservoir. But I think they all just moved out, you know, moved on and they needed the reservoir. They could see the need for storing water.
And the bridge is still there?
Oh, a big bridge still there under the water when it goes right down. You can see that from the main road when it gets low. But
wow.
I don't think it'll ever come out anymore now because they pump a lot of water from the Murray to mix with it all the time.
It might never
get that low again. But
So nobody knows anymore, I suppose.
No, but we did walk right around there when we were kids at school. We had a day off to do the walk around the reservoir.
Wow. That's fantastic.
Mm. Poor old school. That went in 1983 too. That got burnt down in a big fire. But
that got burnt down. That wasn't arson or anything like that.
It was a bushfire.
It was a bushfire.
They put a couple of temporaries there, and I think they're still there. I don't know where they're at. Whether Millbrook School
was
still going.
Was bushfire a big risk always?
Oh, yeah.
So do you remember fires?
Yeah. We had a big fire at Kersbrook. And the horses, there was a horse and a foal, got in the dam as the fire went through, but he still got horribly burnt. And I remember every night when I go home from school, I had to get this handful of gooey stuff and rub all around their hoofs back up in their hocks because that all got burnt.
Oh,
they all survived. The horse and the foal survived, but they'd had a rough time. Just they would have perished if they'd have got in the dam, I suppose, but that was 1939 when the big bushfire went through there. But there had no water bombers or anything in those days, you know.
Yeah. Were there goats around then?
No. I haven't read any goats.
No.
All sheep.
And did you see many kangaroos?
No, never saw any kangaroos that day. No, it was all...
Why? What would have happened to them?
I don't know, they'd been exterminated, I suppose, but we never saw any kangaroos on the orchard. A few foxes.
Foxes, see, they're introduced as well.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's something else we brought in.
Yeah.
But, no, they used to trap foxes and shoot foxes and whatnot, but...
Did you eat many rabbits, or did you have enough lamb?
Oh, I used to set traps, yeah, plenty of rabbits.
Did you eat them, though, or you didn't have
to? Yeah, Mum used to cook them up now and again. We'd eat rabbit. That was a bit of a delicacy. A bit different from sheep.
Rabbit stew. I remember having rabbit stew. So, but kangaroos had all gone? And
there was no kangaroos around
that way. Koalas or anything like that? Did you ever see koalas?
Oh, there was a few rosellas and that sort of stuff. I don't know whether we saw
flocks. Koalas.
Didn't hear. Koalas. Yeah.
Mutt.
No.
Nothing like that.
But there's kangaroos now, so they've come back.
They've come back, yeah.
With a vengeance.
We didn't see anything like that.
So they would have just cleared everything?
No, cleared everything for the...
Yeah, well, how could they come back, I guess, if there was no vegetation?
Yeah, well, the orchard was ploughed every... I mean, the kangaroos could have gone back and ate the fruit, but...
Yeah.
Never saw any. Never any saw like that.
So when did the mine start?
What,
the mine that you were talking about, the silver mine.
Oh, up here?
Yeah.
Oh, 1850?
Yeah.
The Will Allen silver mine there.
And were there mines around where you grew up?
No. Oh, way up on the hill there was a talc mine we were never allowed to go near of because it was just a great hole in the ground. We went up there to look, of course. But
yeah.
The hole went down the glory, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Fell down there, nobody knew you where you were.
And was that cleared as well, all around the mine? It was all cleared of vegetation?
Oh, not really up there. They'd just gone down and got the talc. They were going down to the talc mine. It wasn't like this mine up here. They went down 360-odd feet, five big shafts up there. They went down there. Then they'd go along on a drive, and then they'd hug up again to get air.
Yeah.
To get air circulation. Yeah. For 400 men working on that
hill.
Unreal.
Oh, there's some fantastic stories there, isn't there? I'm just about running out of space. I've probably got about 10 more minutes on there. So,
well, when we're going to Millbrook School, I got a new bike for my birthday or something. I think I paid about £10 for it. And I used to see how quick I could get home. Race home, like down over the Star Hill and up the other side. You know. And a lot of the kids coming home on a hot night decided they'd have a swim in the Torrens. Then they down there by Tippett's place, they'd go down there and have a swim in the Nutty, see? And because it got the school that these kids have been swimming in the river. Whoa, no good. Here's dear little George, he's not in it. He's riding his bike as quick as he can. Lucky, otherwise I'd have been there. So the teacher's all worried about these kids swimming in the Nutty in the river. So he said, gets one of these little quiet kids, a bit of a shy little kid on her own. And he says, now, I want you to tell me, did you do anything else besides swim in the river? And she says, yes. Teacher goes off his head and gets the police down to give him a talking to about what's going on. But when she said yes, she meant I used to pinch some watermelons from Wakefield on the way home.